Well, let's switch gears here and go to a man who has defended this nation.
And he will never sit silent.
He is not silent.
Never.
He is in the fight with all of us. And we're going to welcome back to the show, Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gobb. Darren, welcome back to the Conservative Voice on WWDB.
All right, there, I gave you 3 seconds of silence. That's as much as you're going to get.
Perfect. That's all we needed, actually.
That's great. Oh, man.
You know, I was that was awesome to follow in after that, because I actually just got off the conversation with my veterans, my Global Veterans Coalition representative from Ireland.
Oh, no kidding.
And let me tell you what they're doing in Dublin.
Please.
They're sending out patrols of up to 100 people working in teams of 3 to 4 all over their neighborhood, making sure that they take care of the crime themselves. And they can do flash mobs equivalent up to 50 people at a time if it's called for. So, you know, when the government fails, the people step in and do it for themselves. And I think that is great. Right after that UK big million person march, I hope these things are productive and keep waking people up.
Well, touch on that march again. That just happened, and it didn't get much press, obviously, here in the U.S., I don't think. But you know, London was, the streets were full.
Can I just real quick before you do that, Tony Robinson hired a helicopter himself to film the streets in England because he knew the media would falsely report the turnout for the march that you guys are discussing.
Yeah. You got to take everything in your own hands.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I use the same, I guess, mentality here in Montana. I was like, you know what? Most of our media here is just terrible. It's very agenda driven, completely ignores facts and relevance on things. So rather than just complain about the media, I decided to become the media, kind of right. Like you're doing.
You know, that's exactly why we're here. That's how we ended up here. It wasn't a grand plan.
God, no.
We just started, you know, seeing what was happening to the country and said, you know, we've got to get involved. And we did get involved. And it sort of led to this and to town halls. And, you know, you joined us for a town hall, which was fabulous. So you know what we're talking about. We did one last night that was interesting. But this protest in London, I mean, it was really something. We had this guy on named Kurt Weldon, who was a U.S. congressman for 20 years and was telling stories about foreign affairs and mostly 9/11 that were fascinating. Mm-hmm. So there were, it was at least 1 million people that were in the streets of London on September 13.
Yeah, at least, exactly. And I mean, I've got a UK veterans rep too, and it's just funny to hear people talking who are part of these things and live amongst them. And then you compare it to, you just flip over to something like, you know, the Clinton News Network and see what they're saying. Right-wing xenophobic Nazis in the streets, you know, that kind of stuff, as always.
Yep.
You know, they're running around. They're painting the crosswalks with the red crosses for English flags of old and various things like that. And they're putting them up white poles and various things all over the country. And they're actually having some people coming out now trying to remove the English flags and put up the fake Palestinian flag garbage. But every time that happens, you know, a lot of these citizens turn back around and say, no, we're not putting up with this. This is our country. We're taking it back. And I love seeing it. I hope that the right people were paying attention even a little bit there and realized that what you've got here is what's the TV show, A Bug's Life?
Yeah.
Don't let them wake up. They'll know that they outnumber us massively.
Well, and you keep seeing like these protests and that we're being demanded to pick a side between nations we don't live in because they're partners with us in one form or another. You guys keep pushing and we're gonna bring back the Crusades. Like if you make us pick a team, I picked my team. Please don't force me to come out of my place of kindness and truth and fight for it. Because you know what? You'll see the Catholics, the Protestants, the Evangelicals, the Anglicans. Everyone will come together to fight for our way of life. So they keep pushing And you're right. The bugs, all they have to do is come together and stand up. And you don't want that, actually.
No. Well, they would like to get a violent reaction so they could act against that. But
not what I'm talking about, though.
They've been unable to, you know, to provoke that.
Because we're not idiots. Sorry. But
that well, it turns out. And we have a culture that actually is robust. But if the differences of these groups that squabble from time to time over this issue or that, if those differences end up getting set aside and the American people do come together, remember that we've talked about this with Mark Mitchell extensively. We talked about it before we were talking to Mark Mitchell. This is not an evenly split country. It's not 50-50.
No.
It's about 70-30. And 30% are going to protest that people from foreign nations should be defended in our country. And 70% say no. We're Americans, and we want this country to be safe and secure and prosperous and free. We want our Constitution back, and we'd really appreciate a balanced budget. So,
and 28% of those 30% are not even here legally as citizens.
Right. That's right. That's right. And
so, I mean, whose voice matters?
Well,
you know, to those of us who know what we're doing anyway.
Yeah.
Apparently, the voice that matters to our elected representatives are the illegal aliens in many cases. They call them their constituents and say that they're standing up in their defense. Well, what about your actual constituents, peeps? I don't know what you're doing over there, but you're not standing up for your constituents if you are defending illegal aliens and their benefits, their SNAP benefits, their health benefits, their housing benefits, while American citizens are living in their cars with their children. It's preposterous.
It is preposterous. Do you remember about a year and a half ago, maybe, I can't remember exactly, you guys can correct me, but there was something like a two-mile-long string of RVs parked outside of San Francisco where the Americans were living in because they couldn't afford homes anymore?
Yes. And what did they clean it up for? What event happened that they cleaned those streets up for? You don't remember? Darren, do you remember?
We had a President Xi visit.
Oh, right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know they cleared that for that. I remember when they cleaned up San Francisco, and all of a sudden that app that tracks the human feces on the street went clean.
Yep.
It got a reset.
And they put up all the China flags.
Yes, I remember the China flags.
The streets of California, and they welcomed that man with clean streets. The residents that live there went quickly back to feces-filled streets.
Yeah.
But while he was there, it was a beautiful, shining city on the sea.
Man, it was when I was there. But I just can't imagine walking through San Francisco and having to keep cleaning off your shoes.
Oh.
But that's the world they've chosen.
It's not just California either. I mean, my son lives in Maricopa, the city in south of Phoenix. And he's in an RV park in a trailer, and he's content, I guess you could say. But he can't go. He can't find anywhere to live that's rentable because the state of Arizona is paying for rent for all the illegals who are flooding it.
Yeah.
They're taking over all the housing.
Well, when
you got a decent, hardworking, conservative American kid, doing great things for a very good company, and working his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on him, right?
That's right.
When those landlords learn that they will get consistent money from a government, rental agreement versus taking a risk with someone off the street, maybe with good credit, renting a house for a lesser amount of money, they seem to always side with the government contracts. They seem to always be leaning towards the consistent cash from the government as landlords to take in these illegal aliens. We see it across the country.
And according to some of what I've heard, the government pays a premium.
Too much of it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's right.
Yeah.
So forget our citizens. If they're struggling or suffering, we're not worried about them. We're worried about the illegal aliens, and we're paying their rent.
So, and we had a discussion with U.S. Representative Scott Perry earlier in the show, and we were talking about the fiscal disaster, and it's real. We don't see a fix there yet because the American people keep accepting this fiscal nightmare, but which is also transforming the country, obviously. But we also touched on with him, Darren, this 800 generals and admirals being brought back to D.C. for a chat. Any speculation on what they'll be chatting about?
Uniform changes?
The great mystery. Bottom line is you don't do something like this for a small reason.
No.
And I started out with the idea that, you know, what would I prefer? I'd prefer by the time they're done, maybe about 400 of them have been told they need to move on. Here's your walking papers. We're going to get Patriots back in the military in charge. And there's no better way to do that than to send the message in front of people that, guess what, those 400 we just gave walking papers to, the 400 of you that are left, you're on the clock.
Yeah.
And all we're asking you to do, all we're telling you to do, is fulfill your oath of office and support the Constitution and the American people and not your personal vendettas. I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be a lecture on the fact that DEI in any form and different titles and different substances is still out there? Possibly. Or that could just be one of the catalysts for why we end up with people walking. But the range of options is there. You know, you got to think big enough for what it's worth to bring that many people into one place. That makes a very rich target, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It could be saying, hey, listen, there's a very good chance this nation's could end up in a major conflict, and here's the intelligence supporting why. And I don't doubt, maybe some of that intelligence is made up. Who knows? That happens.
It usually is, yes.
So I'm hoping stupid people aren't going to try to get us into a conflict, because there's no conflict on the planet right now where American troops should be. That's just a simple fact of it.
That's right.
So this one's pretty closely held. I haven't seen something this big since there was some rehearsals and other things that were occurring during Trump 1.0 when he was saber rattling against North Korea. That was a fairly significant, but it doesn't even touch this. So I, too, am watching closely to see what it actually means. I have a few options in mind of what it could mean, and am pending like anybody else. So,
On May 5th.
Am I going to get a call back to the Pentagon? That's my question.
It could happen. On May 5th of 25 this year, there's an article. Hegseth came out and said the U.S. military will cut 20% of generals and admirals. And so that was formally announced. And I don't know exactly how many were already taken out. If he's done that reduction, I don't know to what extent that's been effective. But that was, again, announced in May that he was going to reduce those officers by 20%.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, that's a start. And
right.
That would be the Obama method, is just retire, fire, replace slowly, relatively slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And from his perspective, I understand how he did that. I don't like it, of course, because he's Obama. He didn't do anything right. But to me, this is a nation right now who needs to see bold moves. They need to see Comey in jail after being indicted. They need to see huge messages that, promises made, here's another form of a promise kept. And if they could say after that meeting that 400 generals got fired for working against the American people and Constitution, that's a message that's going to be heard around the world.
Oh.
And it would be unlike anything I've ever seen. And I would just love to be there for it.
Oh, me too.
And listen, the TV will be must-watch TV after that happens, if that's what happens. MSNBC, CNN, oh my gosh, we all have to stop what we're doing and watch them lose their minds, because I'm old enough to remember when they didn't lose their minds when Obama cut a whole lot of our military. So I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to this week to see what happens.
Yeah, I hope it's not a nothing burger, because every time we see something like this and we have great expectations about progress towards the good and nothing happens, it's like, well, at what point do you just start ignoring it all?
Well, if it's that's a great point. If it ends up being really nothing, nothing of substance, and they did all of this, and anybody paying attention realizes, as you said, this is big. If they do nothing, if it's just business as usual, that'll be a massive blow to the morale of the American people.
Let me caveat that, though, because I was sent something this week that I can't do anything with right now, which is such a fun situation to find myself in. But if we come out with no information on Tuesday, that doesn't necessarily mean nothing happens. So just a reminder that if we don't get the heads rolled, announcement from DOD after this meeting, then, you know, we'll keep our eyes peeled to see what happens.
Well, but
next.
They'll have to come out and make an announcement about what the topic was and why they did this and explain. Yeah, they do. They've got to tell the American people why they did this. They have to give them at least a story. They can't just say we did this and, you know, it was because it was Tuesday.
Classified.
Right. A great time was had. Good food, good drink.
We had a great lunch.
Thank you. Everybody go home.
Right.
Everybody
we brought them in because we had a little extra shrimp in the cafeteria.
Our government's been lying to us and not telling us the truth my entire life. They do not have to tell us what they talk about in that
meeting.
So
they will at least have to come up with a lie. They can't do this and do nothing. They have to say something.
Okay.
But we will know if it's nonsensical, and then people start making their judgments. But the American people will be looking at this and making a judgment. So if it turns into nothing, it will be a big shot in the a big blow to the morale of the people who are hoping to see the country turn around.
Well, absolutely. I mean, just think of it from a fiscal and risk standpoint. How much money does it cost to short notice fly that many people from around the globe? I've done stuff like this before, short notice, even with a group of four. International flights, of course, not cheap. And then think about from a sheer risk perspective of that much leadership in one place, absent from their duties where they normally are.
Right.
I can clearly see some positives to that because there are many of them who should not be where they are and their deputies being in lines.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm just going through scenarios in my head. You know, suddenly your 3-star boss is gone and you're the 2-star deputy who's in charge. And next thing you know, your 3-star boss got walking papers for fighting against the American people on their oath.
Yeah.
A 2-star will hopefully look at that and go, huh, message heard.
Yes, yes. And countries around the world would look at that and say, oh, this is a different game.
They mean business
now. The United States may be not just taking a 4-year break from the globalist adventure. They may actually be doing substantive change. Mm-hmm. So I'm anxious to hear this. But I want to switch gears, if we could, one more time. You know, the war in Ukraine, we've talked about it extensively. You know, every time you call, we hit this because it's so critical. And it's roaring on. They've told Putin in order to come to the table to have peace talks, as I understand it, he's got to agree to withdraw from all territory, including Crimea. He's got to agree to they want him to do a ceasefire, which to me would be tactically a bad move for someone in his position, because once he sort of demobilizes those forces, how does he remobilize? And you know, then he's got to agree to basically allow the NATO troops to come into Ukraine. That was one of the fundamental reasons the war started. So I'm looking at this and saying, I don't understand why anybody who wants peace would start with those demands. And secondly, why are we seeing Trump now become more ramped up, you know, in terms of saying that Putin isn't working toward peace? What are your observations on Ukraine?
Well, first key observation is, I think, what you said about anybody who wants peace. I don't think we have people involved in many levels who want peace. They want war profits and other things. So when people are starting off with highlighting that the conditions are every red line that the other side won't cross, then you may as well not be talking at all. You've solved nothing. You've made a little bit of a global circus, and you go right back to what you were doing in the first place. And I think Trump is getting a little bit ramped up because he's said numerous times that he's disappointed in Putin after Alaska, after Washington, D.C., and the White House visit and all of this. You know, here we are. And World War One trench warfare 2024 version continues.
Mm-hmm.
So... And for a number of months now, I've been in a specific position where if I were standing in the Oval Office and Trump asked me, he goes, what one decision would you make right now concerning the Ukraine-Russia war? What would that decision be? I would just look him straight in the eyes and say, walk away. Mm-hmm. Take our support, take our money, take our people, and take everything. And come home and say, okay, call me when you guys are done. I'm sick of this.
Yep. That would be...
And say, Europe, you got it. Pony up.
Right. Oh, yeah. We've only got like a minute and a half left, but when I hear the Europeans, you know, the Germans and the Brits say they're going to go in and fight this without us, You know, of course, I laughed at that. That was, what, a year ago? Here we are. Go ahead, boys.
Go ahead.
You know,
have at it.
The Europe.
Starmer isn't intimidating to you?
No, not at all, actually.
And everybody knows the people of those countries absolutely are not going to that Ukrainian battle to fight Boris. They're not doing it.
Gosh, they're horrified by our Second Amendment. Please, boys.
Right.
Load up. Go ahead.
Would I have to take off my pointy-toed shoes?
Oh, my loafers don't like this mud.
So I don't mean to make that one. Well, okay. So, in just this last 2 minutes, Darren, you know, I think you've given great advice there. What else should we be thinking about with regard to Ukraine or anything that is on the horizon that you see that's worrying?
Well, to me, my focus right now is, because I'm watching the generals thing, I don't know any more than necessary than anybody else. The other thing I'm watching right now is the United Nations continue to prove the fact that we should not be funding them or hosting them.
Amen.
And frankly, at this point, if you want to make a great deal on something that could be very interesting and see where people's motivations are, I would pitch the idea that the UN headquarters needs to go overseas. They need to be funded through somebody but us.
Yes.
And they need to build their headquarters in Gaza City and see what they think then.
And then we could do something really beautiful with that property in our most beautiful city. I think it's you're on to something there, sir.
That is a great
point. That's why I get kicked off all the media all the time.
That's right.
Not
that's,
ours.
That's why we love you and some others hate you. That's right.
That's all right. They hate us. As I said to Gary earlier, they hate us too. And honestly, we all wear it as a badge of honor.
So, Darren, we've got to wrap up. Thank you so much, and thanks for being flexible, because, as you know, the guest we had scheduled had a personal thing, emergency happened in her family that she had to care for, and so best wishes to Liz Harrington and her family today, and thank you for joining us on The Conservative Voice on WWDB AM 860 in Philadelphia.